faith can move the mountains, let the mountains move. We come with expectation, we're waiting here for you. Waiting here for you. You're the Lord of all creation, and still you won my heart. The author of salvation, you loved us from the start. Waiting here for you. With our hands lifted high in praise, and it's you we adore, singing
faithfulness is true. We're desperate for your presence, and all we need is you.
Waiting here for you, with our hands lifted high in praise. It's you we adore, singing Alleluia. Singing
everyone. What I've been doing, I've been studying, trying to get into my own study of the book of Revelation, but you don't want to study it. It's a blessing, it's just reading it. It's a promised blessing. I just got blessed by the first six verses. Just studying the first six verses of the book of Revelation is just such a tremendous, rich blessing. So I just encourage you. This song has lines from it. It won't be long. It won't be long. It's just right around the corner. Hallelujah. Do you feel the world is broken?
We do.
Do you feel the shadows deepen?
We do.
But do you know that all the dark won't stop the light from getting through?
We do.
Do you wish that you could see it all made new? We do. Is all creation groaning?
It is.
Is a new creation coming?
It is.
Is the glory of the Lord to be the light within our midst?
It is.
Is it good that we remind ourselves of this?
It is.
Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? The Lion of Judah, who conquered the grave. He is David's root and the Lamb who died to ransom the slave. Is he worthy? Is he worthy of all blessing and honor and glory? Is he worthy of this?
He is.
Does the Father truly love us?
He does.
Does the Spirit move among us?
He does.
And does Jesus, our Messiah, hold forever those he loves?
He does.
Does our God intend to dwell again with us?
He does.
Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? The Lion of Judah, who conquered the grave. He is David's root and the Lamb who died to ransom the slave. From every people and tribe,
every people and tribe,
every nation and tongue,
every nation.
Made us a kingdom and priest to God to reign with the Son. Is he worthy? Is he worthy of our blessing and honor and glory? Is he worthy? Is he worthy? Is he worthy of it? He is. He is. Is he worthy? Is he worthy? He is. He is. He is Start on practice. We'll only be doing worship for a million years or so with the angels, with the cherubim and seraphim. And when the master lifts up his holy hand and we see the nail scars, we'll just be singing over and over again. Just tell him that you love him. Just tell him you love him. Just take a couple of seconds to praise him. Just pretend you're not even at this place and that Everybody's staring at me. Just look at him. He's the only one worthy of praise here. As if you're in your own quiet time, just tell him how much you love him. Thank you, Lord. You called us a kingdom of priests. And as priests, Lord, we have on our shoulders names. We bear on our shoulders names. Like the Hebrews had, the high priest had the 12 tribes of Israel engraved on those stones on the ephod, Lord, above his shoulders, Lord. We have engraven on our shoulders people that... They're sick in body, bearing infirmities, Lord. We ask you for healing. We thank you in this quiet moment, Lord, that you're going to move in a special way. Everyone has a name of someone in here that they've been praying for that's they're not well in body. Even some of us bear physical pains and aches and maladies, Lord. We just lift them up before you. Kind and merciful Savior, for their healing. Deliverance from distresses, depression, anxiety. Thank you, Lord. We thank you in this moment that you're moving in ways that we can't see. Bless you, Lord. Blessed be your name, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We love you. Thank you.
this whole world, lost in fear, bound in sin, in a sea of tears, will disappear. Through the fire, through the rain, we get tired, we all feel the strain, but His grace sustains. Is ready to appear. Wake up, the sun will rise. He is coming for His bride. He will wipe away the teardrops from our eyes. Wake up, the sun will rise. My friends, family, with the saints, I can't wait to see for eternity. Lift up your hands, lift up your gaze. Jesus Christ is coming any day. Wake up, the sun will rise. He is coming for His bride. He will wipe away the teardrops from our eyes. Wake up, the sun will rise. Wake up, the sun will rise. We will praise Him for for His bride. He will wipe away the teardrops from our eyes. Wake up, the sun will rise. Wake up, the sun will rise. Wake up, the sun will rise.
The sun will rise.
The sun will rise, the sun will rise.
Amen. Amen. Come on, please stand.
We're joking in the voice of God.
Stand as you will. And take your time. Scripture reading is from Psalm 18, verses 1 through 3. I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. You may be seated and we could dismiss our children.
Good morning. Good to see everybody this morning. Welcome as we continue our study in the Word. And thank you, Johnny, for that time of worship. And knowing that the songs help our worship along, but our worship starts here. It starts in our hearts. The songs are a great part of it, but we should be in a state of worship continually. To pray without ceasing, to worship without ceasing, to be in His presence without ceasing, that's a challenge for us in this world that we live in with all the distractions that we have. But that's what we're called to, is to be in relationship with Him every moment, every day. This morning we're going to continue our study in Ephesians. We're going to pick up in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Our title this morning is Preparation for Spiritual Warfare. Now, this title it kind of came to me this way because as we've been going through our study and as we've been going through what Paul has been teaching us through the letters to the Ephesians, we need to be prepared for what's going on around us. We need to be prepared for what the enemy is up to. And we need to be prepared for the fact that because we are believers, we are going to be in a battle, a spiritual battle. And so this is something that is a reality in a relationship with God. We need to be prepared for that. Many times we hear about spiritual warfare. We hear about, this is a spiritual battle. But a lot of times we don't recognize it for what it is, and we're not prepared for it because we're actually more in the fleshly mindset of what's going on around us. So this is why we're going to be talking about the preparation for spiritual warfare. In our last study, we looked at submitting to one another in the body of Christ. So important that we understand what that means. We know that it can't be done in the flesh because in the fleshly mindset, we're all about ourselves. It's not about anybody else. It's not about helping anybody else. There's some nice things we can do for people, but even in that, it's not grounded in the spiritual side of it. It's grounded in, hey, if I do this for them, I might get recognition or they'll appreciate it. And how many times have we done things for people that we thought were nice things and they didn't respond the way we wanted them to? And that just kind of makes you mad then, doesn't it? It's like, well, I did that for you and you're not even grateful. You're not thankful. That should never be the mindset. In the Spirit, when we do things led by the Spirit and we're ministering to people through the Spirit, it should not be about the response at all. It should never be about the response. It should be about the obedience, just to do what God's called us to do. How many times have we done that and we're planting seeds? We may not see the fruit. We may not see the growth. But we know God called us to do it, so we just do it, and then we move on with the next thing He wants us to do. We don't have to keep going back and beating people over the head and demanding they respond. That's the fleshly nature. The Spirit, in true submission, is to be first loving God, then loving others, and truly being concerned for them, but not trying to manipulate them. Manipulation has no place in the church. There are many that do it, but there's no place for that. And true submission in relationships can only happen when we submit to Christ. He changes our desires towards one another. And we're told in Scripture that we're to be in unity with Him and one another. In Philippians 2, 3 through 5, it says, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for your own interest, but also for the interest of others. And let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." This is something that the Lord is really teaching us as we grow in Him, that it's never really about us. It's about Him first, and it's about others. And that should be the mindset. Now, it's important for us to understand that this entire message that Paul has given us is a foundation. It's the foundational truth to what he's about to lay out for us this morning regarding spiritual warfare. So many times, we as Christians tend to look at people as the enemy. They're our enemy. Could be people we're close to. Could be people on the news. Could be politics, could be this, could be that, but they're the enemy. That's the culture that we're in now. Everybody is standing against their enemy. Instead of standing for something, we're now all against something. And that's the culture that we live in. We don't, in our politics today, you don't hear a whole lot about the positive things that they want to do. It's more of, we got to go against whatever's coming on this side. That's the mindset of everybody today. But what we have to understand is that we are in a spiritual battle, not a fleshly battle. So people are not the enemy. It's the acts that's going on behind them. It's a demonic realm. It's the spiritual realm that's stirring everything up, using people, but it's not the people themselves. Now, this includes believers and non-believers. Husbands and wives often find themselves in blame games with one another, as well as parents with their children, friends and co-workers who have disagreements. They can't get past them because it's all personal. It's all personal. And it's easy to talk to someone and tell them how they're to deal in a certain situation with people, but when it hits you at home, you don't necessarily respond the way that we think others should. We want to fight against the individual. And we often find ourselves so offended. That word is so overused. But everybody's offended by something. Now, after Paul lays out the foundational truths of loving God first, submitting to Him, submitting to one another, he's now going to go deeper into showing us where this war is at, where we're going to be fighting this war. So let's go to the Lord and just ask Him to open our eyes this morning. Father, we ask that You speak to us. We know it's so hard in this culture that we live in with all the distractions, with all the evil, with all the politics, with all the cultural wars going on between one another and this group against that group and all of this. Lord, it's hard to live here sometimes. But God, we are not of the world. We're in it. We're no longer of it. So therefore, we don't have to get sucked into it. We can observe and then be obedient to You on what You call us to do in it. That leaves us more in an objective point than subjective point. So we pray that You open our eyes to the spiritual aspect of what's going on, and that we look to that. We look to You, and we choose, Lord, to be in this battle as You put us in it, as You place us, as You direct us and lead us, Lord. Let that be our guide, not the news headlines, not the individuals, but You. Let that be what we listen to. And we thank You and pray that You teach us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. So Ephesians chapter 6, beginning with verse 10. Finally, my brethren, now think about this for a minute. He's closing out this section of the letter. Finally, he's leading us up to this point. This is all part in context of where we're going. So finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So Paul is really, in these particular couple of verses, he's given us a huge truth of what we're to deal with and what we are dealing with in the culture around us. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We're not wrestling with each other. We're not wrestling in the politics. We're not wrestling with the news media. They're being used by the enemy. And yes, it's so easy to be angry when somebody says something stupid on the news or on the Oprah Winfrey special. It's so hard not to just want to shake the TV or the radio or whatever, whoever, wherever it's coming from. But we have to understand, we're not wrestling with those people. We're wrestling against the principalities, the powers of wickedness, the rulers of the darkness of this age, spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places. It's a spiritual war. And if we're not willing to accept that, then we're going to get sucked in to every single news broadcast and be angry all the time or scared all the time, because that's what their intention is. The enemy wants to confuse us. The enemy wants to distract us. The enemy wants to keep us in a state of emotional stress and delusion. That's what is going on. If you look at every cultural movement today, they're all angry, they're all emotionalized, and you can't have a conversation. Because the minute you say, well, have you thought about this, they'll blow up and yell and scream because they probably have thought about it but don't want to deal with it. They're sucked in to the spiritual wickedness. They're sucked in to deceit. They're sucked in, and they're stuck there because what happens is they get all emotional, and you can't break free from an emotional delusion. It's a stronghold. It's a spiritual stronghold. And so, therefore, we have to recognize, and Paul lays it out here, we're not wrestling against people. It's the demonic forces behind them. So he makes it clear right off the bat, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Now, as believers, we have to come to this place. If we don't, we'll be battling between the flesh and the spirit, are going to battle all the way to the time we take our last breath. We know that is a continual battle, but we can still find ourselves on the wrong side of that within that battle. I'm not talking about losing salvation. I'm talking about the struggle of constantly battling your flesh harder than you should because you're not walking in the power of Christ. You're walking in the power of your flesh. And when you walk in your fleshly power, then you're going to fail. It's not about our strength or abilities. We have none. We do not have the strength within ourselves, our physical beings, our minds, to wrestle against spiritual forces. It's not there. The power comes from God. The power comes from the Holy Spirit within us. The power comes from the Word of God. And that's why we as believers have to understand that this whole thing that we're seeing going on around us is spiritual. And with Christ, He in us, through the power of the Holy Spirit and the Word, gives us what we need to stand in the midst of everything going on. Without finding ourselves over-emotional, over-excited, depressed, angry, stirred up, anxious. All of those things are what the enemy wants to do in us. But we as believers know that we have a power greater than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So therefore, grabbing hold of that and walking in that, we can stand in his strength and in his power. Being submitted to God means that we're giving everything to Him. Everything that we see, everything that we feel, everything that we're told, everything that we've learned, everything around us, we give to Him and say, God, I can't deal with this. It's yours. You take it. He wants to take it. He wants to have it, because only He then can sort it out and show us how to deal with it. Otherwise, we're going to be fighting not only against the people around us, we're going to literally be fighting against God. We're going to be pushing against Him, because what He's going to tell you is, do not condemn the person. Do not judge the person. Do not be so overly angry with the person. Give all that to me, and let's get in this war together, and let's pray against the evil that's going on around us. We do pray without ceasing. We do come to the Lord. We do knock. We ask. We seek. And you may say, well, I've been praying for these situations for years and nothing's happened. Trust me, things are happening. It may not be the way we want it, how we want it, when we want it, but God is always moving. He's always dealing. He's always working on our behalf. Satan is always on the prowl. He's always trying to find ways to trip us up. Now, John 10, 9 through 10 says, I am the door. This is Jesus. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and I will go in, and he will go in and out and find pasture. The thief, which is Satan, does not come except to steal and to kill and destroy. I have come, Jesus says, that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Well, life abundantly has to mean peace. It has to mean joy. It has to mean the fruits of the Spirit are available and in us, and we can retrieve them. We can expect them. We can ask for them. We can walk in them. As believers, we have that, but we're not tapping into it because we're so angry and frustrated with the circumstances of the world of what we're living in. And God says, I want you to understand that I am with you in this. I'm going with you. You're not alone. You don't have to fight the people, nor do you should you be angry with the people. You should be, if there's an anger, it should be a righteous anger, and it should be a spiritual anger toward the forces behind it. And 1 Peter 5, 6 through 9 says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. What a blessing of a passage that is. If we cast all of our cares upon him, he loves us. He cares for us. And he goes on in this passage, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. So you're not alone. Everyone who is a believer is experiencing the same thing, a spiritual war, a battle that's going on. See, Satan's arsenal is not that big. It really isn't. But he's effective. Why is he effective? When believers are not walking in humility and submission to the Lord, that's when he can penetrate, because we're not wearing the armor of God. We're just talking about the armor of God. So when we're preparing to put on the armor of God, we first have to come in humility. We have to come seeking him. We have to come humbly before him and saying, God, I can't do this. I can't fight this battle. I can't see the enemy except for the people, so therefore it must be them. And God says, no, it's not them. They're deceived, just as you were deceived before we met. Before you met Jesus, before the Holy Spirit convicted your heart, you were one of them. Period. Well, I don't do some of the stuff. Doesn't matter what you did or didn't do. You weren't a believer, therefore you were one of them. And so we have to see it this way, and we have to understand it this way. Satan, again, he doesn't have that big of an arsenal. Deception, fear are two of those main things that he uses. But then he also stirs up the emotions of confusion to try to keep people distracted from Jesus. See, what Satan wants to do is make everything personal to us. If everything's personal, it will cause us to turn against one another. The minute you're offended because somebody said something, did something that you didn't agree with, then there's a line drawn. And once that line is drawn, division begins. And you're going to be divided. And sometimes it's over religious things. Sometimes you're divided over religion. Satan doesn't care, you know, what he uses. He doesn't care what you believe. As long as he can distract you from Jesus, he doesn't care what else goes on. And sometimes hard things come our way through the enemy. Sometimes it's just simple little everyday things that he continues to stir. Like I said, all he wants to do is to bring division in the family and in the body of Christ. So we need to be asking for wisdom. We need to be asking for discernment. We need to be asking for his power and his strength to recognize the spiritual warfare that we're engaged in. Now, there are many today that do not believe in angel and demonic activity. They don't think that's really real. There's some people that say, oh, that was just written about, but that was either Old Testament or that's this, that's that. But I'm here to tell you today that it's engaging all around us. And I'm going to give you a couple of examples, some from the Old Testament, a couple from the New Testament. The first one I want to show you is Daniel chapter 10, verses 10 through 13. Daniel was in prayer. Daniel was searching for answers. And as he's doing this, in verse 10, it says, suddenly a hand touched me. Well, that ought to freak you out. Whoa, somebody done touched me. Which made me tremble on my knees, on the palms of my hands. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you, and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. Then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand, and listen to me here, and humble yourself before God, your words were heard. And I have come because of your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, one of the archangels, came to help me, for I'd been left alone there with the king of Persia. He was in a spiritual battle. Angel against demon, angel against Satan. They were fighting. Satan was trying to keep him from coming to give the word that God had given him to bring. This is a real story. This is not just one of those made up, oh, well, that's just, you know, kind of an example of a picture of it. No, these angels are real. Those demons were real. They were wrestling in the spiritual realm. And the angel came and gave him the word that God wanted him to have because he humbled himself before God and was searching and asking. This is real. This is spiritual warfare. Notice in verse 12 particular, from the first day that you set your heart to understand and humble yourself before God, your words were heard. Then again, what we just read in 1 Peter a moment ago, it says, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. Humility is a major, major factor in the spiritual war. If you're not walking in humility, what are you walking in? Pride. And if you're walking in pride, then you're going to be angry with your brother or your sister or someone else out there in the world that you know or don't know because now you're not humble before the Lord to recognize this as a spiritual battle. You want to just be angry about it. And I'm going to tell you something. If you're not humble before the Lord, the word won't come. The word won't come. Why? Because you can't hear it. You won't be able to hear the word that God sends through an angel, through the Spirit, through the word. You're not going to be able to hear it if you're fighting the battle in the flesh because you're angry and you're oversensitized to it. Exactly what the enemy wants to do. And so humility, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. This has to be one of the first things that we have to do. The common denominator here is humility. What this means is it opens the door for the Spirit to move in the midst of the spiritual battle. Listen to me this morning. It's not your husband or your wife. It's not your children or your parents. It's not your boss or your coworker. It's not your finances or your health. It's about a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what this is about in every area of our life. And once we enter into this relationship, you've got to understand what happens here. You're entering the battle. You're entering the spiritual battle when you receive Jesus. Satan's aware. And you're going to be opposed. He's going to be in opposition with you on every turn. It reminds me of a Far Side cartoon. If you ever read this one. Two deer standing there. And the caption says, bummer of a birthmark, Hal. He's born with a target on his chest. When you become a believer, you now have a target on your back. Period. Satan is gunning for you. That's not a bummer for us because we're walking in the Spirit. But that's exactly what you have to understand, that you are now a target of the enemy, and therefore you need to recognize the enemy, not necessarily the people that are being used by the enemy. They're real. They do hurt. They do say things. They do things. And it's painful, but the pain has to be processed in the Spirit, not in the flesh, given to God, walk in humility, move past the person, and begin to pray in the Spirit for what's going on behind them. That's what we're supposed to do. It's not the people. So understanding this aspect of the spiritual battle, it's not with one another. Then Paul shows us how we're to engage in this battle. Verse 13, therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand or withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So we're to take up God's armor to fight this battle. Now, we're not going to get into the armor itself this week. That's next week's message. We're going to be breaking down the armor of God, what each one means, what it protects, who it is. God is placing Jesus over us, putting on Jesus himself. That's the armor. We're going to get into that next week. But I think about this aspect here. When we're in this battle, again, we're not always seeing everything going on around us. All we're seeing is what we can see with these eyes and with these ears. This happened with Elisha and with his servant in 2 Kings 6, 15 through 18. And when the servant of the man of God is Elisha that's talking to, rose early and went out, and there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" So he answered, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray you open his eyes that he may see." Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. So when the Syrians came down to him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, "Strike this people, I pray, with blindness." And he struck them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. Now Elisha was already in the battle, in the spiritual battle, and he was also in the armor, and he was walking in the fullness of God. He knew what was going on around him. He recognized it was a spiritual battle to begin with. But the servant couldn't see it. All he could see is, "We're about to be slaughtered. Look at this huge army. Look at this mountain that's coming at us. Look at this monstrous storm. How can we survive this?" And Elisha calmly, "It's okay. Don't be in fear. God, show him." His eyes were open. This is what we need to be praying today. As believers, we need to ask that God opens our eyes. First, we come in humility. You take our eyes off the people. Understand we're in a spiritual war. And then ask God to show you what's going on around us, to reveal to you that this is not a physical thing. This is a spiritual thing. He wants us to understand this. He wants us to get ready to put that armor on. And as we put that armor on, he's going to reveal things to you. He's going to show you things. As he protects you, he's going to speak to you, and he's going to guide you. And then we have David, when he was preparing to fight with Goliath. In 2 Samuel 17, 38 through 40. So Saul, at this point, David had come on the scene and said, "I'm going to go fight this dude. You know, what are you guys all sitting around for? Let me go at him." And nobody wanted to send out a kid. But Saul called David, and then he's what he did. He said, Saul clothed David with his armor. Now, Saul was a grown man. David was a little runt. He was just a kid. And he put on a bronze helmet. He clothed him with a coat of mail, which is a shielding, fastened his sword to his armor, and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, "I can't walk with these. I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them." So David took it all off. Then he took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook, put them in a shepherd's bag, in a pouch which he had, and in a sling in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. Now you might say, well, David didn't take on Saul's armor, but he took his own. He had his staff, he had the slingshot, he had the stones. Yeah, we see all that. That's what he was comfortable with, but he didn't know for sure how this was going to go in his fleshly mindset. But David wasn't going in the flesh. David was going in the power of God. 1 Samuel 17:45 through 47. Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with the sword, with the spear, and with the javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with the sword and the spear, but for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." Now, David wasn't going in pride. I believe the Spirit of God was upon him, and he was in the armor, and he was doing what God called him to do, and he went forth. We all know the story. Slung that stone, sunk in his forehead, boom, he's dead. It's over. Because of the power of God. Now what about Peter? He was in jail. He'd been beaten. He was imprisoned. He was matter of fact, the king was planning on killing him. He'd killed James right before, and he saw that people liked it so much, and people were giving him such good accolades about killing James, that he had Peter locked up. And he was going to come get him. And execute him. But we read this in Acts 12, 5 through 11. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer, hear this, what I'm saying, constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. Now what they're doing is they're doing their part. The church is now walking in the armor. They're in prayer. They're walking in the power of God in prayer. And when Herod was about to bring him out, and what he means by this is he was about to bring him out and execute him, that night Peter was sleeping, bound with 2 chains between 2 soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison. And he struck Peter on the side, and he raised him up. Imagine not just being gently shaken, you know, and awakened. Struck him. That angel said, "Wake up!" Hit him in the side. And he raised him up, saying, "Arise quickly." And his chains fell off his hands. Then the angel said to him, "Gird yourselves and tie on your sandals." And so he did. And he said to him, "Put on your garment and follow me." So he went out and followed him, and did not know that this was done by the angel was real. He thought he might be seeing a vision. When they were past the first and the second guard post, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and went down the street, and immediately the angel departed from him. And when Peter had to come to himself, he said, "Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel, and he has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people." God was moving in this. Peter was just following along at this point. It was the church that was praying that had that angel come. Just as it was with Daniel, as he humbled himself and prayed, God sent the answer. And this is what happened with Peter. The church themselves were humbly continuing in prayer. The angel was sent. Now then we can look at Paul and Silas. A little bit different of an experience here, but it's still the same movement of God. In Acts 16, 25 through 34, "But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God." They're all in jail here. What's their heart? Not "woe is me, we're locked up." We're praying and we're singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison awakening from deep sleep or from sleep, and seeing the prison doors were open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. You have to understand that in that day, if you failed at your post as a soldier, they were going to kill you anyway. He was basically going to go ahead and just get it over with. But Paul called with a loud voice and saying, "Do not, or do yourself no harm, for we're all here." Then he called for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" So they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them that same hour of night and washed their stripes. And immediately he and all of his family were baptized. And when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them, and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all of his household. So God, hearing the songs and prayers of Paul and Silas, sent a miraculous event. Doors all open. They could have left, but they were in tune with the Spirit. The Spirit of God didn't tell them to leave. The Spirit of God said, "Let him know that you're all still here." And what happens? The whole family, the whole household were saved because of humility in the circumstance. Paul and Silas could have been yelling at the guards. They could have been yelling for someone to come and release them, that they've done nothing wrong, that they don't deserve to be here, and all of these things, and they didn't. But they took wherever they were and humbled themselves before God, praying, singing, and God moved. When we're abiding in Christ and when we're walking in humility with Him and with others, God shakes the heavens on our behalf. He shakes the heavens on our behalf. Now, we don't often hear in our culture today of angels appearing to help in the time of need. I believe there are instances, there are stories. You don't hear a lot of those things. And honestly, in the culture we live in today, probably the reason you don't hear a lot of that is because people will begin to worship the angels instead of worshiping God. And there's a big movement on that. People are seeking out. You know, they go and want to look at these weeping statues. They want to go and worship all of these the things of God and from God. But angels are created beings. They're nothing more. They're not to be worshiped. They're God's servants. They're God's servants. Question was asked not too long ago that, well, did God give them free will like He gave man? Yeah, He did. He gave angels free will. But what He didn't give them was a chance to repent. See, He created man in His own image. He didn't create the angels in his image. He created them to be servants. Still gave them free will. But once they decided to go with Satan, they're condemned. They have no option of repentance. But man, because he's made in God's image, and because God built him for relationship, knowing that he would fall, God knew it all in advance, He then gives them a way out of the sinful nature that they're born with. There's the difference between the angels and man. We are treated differently than the angels. But the angels are sent to serve on our behalf as God sends them. As we are in a place where we need them, He will send them. And that's important for us to understand. God sends the angels in the time of need to engage in the spiritual realm when the battle is engaging. And it's engaging constantly. See, Hebrews 1:14 says, speaking of the angels, "Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation?" They're sent for us, for the church, who are already heirs of God and will inherit the promise of salvation and eternity. So, as we conclude this portion regarding being prepared for spiritual warfare, We have to go back to the foundation. Everything we've studied up to this point, God is showing us that we are not to be against one another. We're to first come to God in humility. We're to come to one another in humility. We're to walk in that humility, so it's not all about us. It's not all about what we get out of it. It's not all about our way or the highway. It's about coming before God, putting ourselves in Him, putting all of our emotions, all of our feelings, all the things that we tend to guard ourselves with and wear around in the fleshly nature. He wants all that given to Him, because here's the thing. Bottom line of this introduction is this. If you're not willing to do that and walk in humility with God and with others, then you are vulnerable in this spiritual war, because you're not going to be heard, and or you won't be able to hear when God wants to move on your behalf. Now, I'm not saying He'll abandon you, but I'm saying you're missing so much of the battle, because you're fighting against God, not with Him. You're fighting against people, not with them. You're coming against them in your own mindset, not in the spiritual nature. And so when we get to this point of putting on the full armor of God, if you're not walking in humility, it won't fit. The armor of God will not fit. You can't put it on. Why? Because you're walking in the fleshly nature. The flesh and the spirit are always going to go against one another. They're going to battle against one another. So when you're talking about going into the spirit world and putting on the spiritual armor of God, how's it going to go on when your flesh is, your head's this big and the helmet is this big? It won't fit. Got to humble yourself first. This is what Paul is leading us up to here, is humble yourself before the Lord. If you're not, then we're trying to enter this battle in our own strength. And instead of dealing in prayer and consistency of understanding and asking for wisdom and discernment about the spiritual realm, what we're doing is, well, that person did this and that person did this, and I can't believe what I just heard them say, and I can't believe who's running for office, and I can't believe this side or that side, and that's all you focus on. And you're searching out every single website, both Christian and non-Christian, to support your view against people. It's doing you no good. It will do you no good. Why? Because I'm going to promise you this. If you pick any topic, I don't care what it is, that you have an opinion on, you will find somebody that will support that opinion. And then once you find them, let me tell you what happens in YouTube. Once you find them and you start watching them, YouTube will line up 50 more. Why? Because they follow every move that you do. They're watching what you're doing. They're monitoring. Oh, they're interested in this. So you get 50 more videos that are going to show you. And here's the thing. We found this just recently, because we like to watch certain things on YouTube. Nothing heavy, just something to find. And you see this one story that's saying, well, that's kind of interesting. You click on it. And, you know, on YouTube you got headings of, like, the different things that might interest you. Well, then they plug in a bunch of things that don't even fit to the heading. Because you watch this, now you got 4 or 5 or 10 or 20 in a row of the exact same type thing that you just watched, because they think they can suck you in and get you focused on it. That's how they do it. We're being monitored. But think about this. In the spirit realm, you're being monitored. Who's monitoring you? Well, God's always got His eye on us. We know that. God sends the angels. He does protect us. But Satan has millions of demons on every corner that are watching our vulnerabilities. Now, they don't have power over us as believers, but they do have power to manipulate. They have power to distract. They have power to operate upon your weaknesses, of which you display in your flesh. And so when you're walking in the flesh, they're there feeding that. Just like those YouTube videos, just like the websites, they're feeding it to you because they know this is where you're at. And if you latch onto this one, then you latch onto that one. And the next thing you know, God is saying, come back to Me. Turn away from all of this jabber and this clutter and all the mud. Come to Me. Let Me show you clearly what you're dealing with. You're not dealing with flesh and blood. You're not dealing with your interest or non-interest. You're not dealing with even what they're saying is true or not true. What you're dealing with is your own fleshly nature that is sucking you toward this. Satan's feeding it, and you're drawn to it. And if you don't turn away from it and humble yourself before me, then it's going to be you against them constantly. That's what he wants to do. He wants to split the church. He wants to keep people mad at other people. He wants to keep you from ministering to other people because they're evil. They're walking in evil. Look what they do. Look at their lifestyle. Yeah, the lifestyle's evil, but they're deceived. And rather than looking at the person as an evil person, inner warfare through prayer for that person, that the blinders would be removed, that Satan would, his stronghold would be broken, and that their eyes would be opened to the Spirit of God to change their heart so that they recognize the lies that they've been believing and what they are, and then they can turn and they can walk in a relationship with God just as you have. It's a spiritual battle. We can't walk it in our own strength. And I encourage you this way. If you're not humble before God and you're walking in anger and frustration over everything else going on around you, you need to come to the Lord and deal with that before you even engage in spiritual warfare. Because you'll come out scarred and beat up. This is something that we all have to come to our own heart and our own minds. This is what it really means when you feel like it's somebody else's fault all the time. When it's always somebody did this or did that or this person or that person. Until you're willing to come to the Lord and say, Lord, show me about me. Take your eyes off the other people. Show me about me. When you're willing to do that, that's when the breakthrough can come in the spiritual battle, because now you're walking in the Spirit. When he shows you something and you repent from it, now you're humble before him. Now you can say, okay, God, I recognize that. I'm no longer going to hold contempt over my wife, my husband, my children. I'm no longer going to be in contempt or hold my boss in contempt or whoever's running for president in contempt or whatever the newscasters are saying. I'm not holding them in contempt, but I am coming now, Lord, in the power of your might. And I pray you break the strongholds in this land. Break the strongholds in relationships. Break the strongholds that are binding this land and this country and this world into the hands of the enemy. Break those demonic forces. We come in the name of Jesus, not in our own strength. And if you ever come and say, rebuke you, Satan, always come and say, may the Lord rebuke you, Satan. Even the angels understood that. We're not to wrestle with the demon either. That's God's job. Our wrestle is in prayer. Our wrestling is in where we recognize the battle, and then we enter it from that standpoint, and then we hold on. We hold on to him in the midst of it. And again, next week, we're going to look at the armor. We're going to break it down. We're going to look at what it is, how it protects us, how he guards us. But at this week, as we prepare for that message, I want you to read ahead and read about that armor. I want you to pray over that armor. But as we come back next week, I want you to come pray it up too, that God is revealing to you the spiritual battle that you're in personally and then corporately, again, in the church, in the nation, in the government, and in everything around us. It's a spiritual battle. Now you may say, well, you know, there's one passage that will change everything. If my people will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear their voice and I will heal their land. I want to tell you something. That's a good prayer. But if that's all you're hanging on to and you're not willing to come and enter the battle in the spiritual realm by humbling yourself, because I can tell you this, a lot of people that pray that prayer are angry people. That prayer ain't going to do them any good. If my people will humble themselves and pray. There's a big difference. When you come in a prayer, God, I pray you'll destroy these people. I pray you'll just wipe out that whole party. I pray you'll just move them all out, run them all off, burn it down. God's not interested in that prayer. What he's interested in is, Lord, forgive me for holding them in judgment and contempt. Forgive me for walking in pride and walking in even a righteous pride that's not of you. Now, Lord, change my heart, O God, to be what you want me to be. Change my heart, O God, to hear your voice in the midst of this spiritual battle. Change my heart to engage the way you want me to. And then, Lord, as I humble myself, I pray for the circumstance I'm in. I pray for the land that we live in. I pray for all this. And then, Lord, your will be done. And it will. And we're going to see change. I'm not saying it's going to be a change in this country. It may be time for this country to be gone. I don't know. I mean, if you look at it on paper, I mean, how much longer is God going to walk without judgment and us dealing with the consequences of our sin? We're right on that line. Whatever happens is between, it's God's will, whatever it is. We need to be praying that we are operating in this battle in accordance to his will, not in the fleshly mindset. Does that make sense? Well, Father, we ask that you prepare us. We are in a battle. For most of us, for a lot of us, I don't think we recognize that it is a spiritual battle. It is people against people. It's philosophy against philosophy. It's political against radical. It's all of these things. And while there's truth in those things, Lord, because people are operating in these realms, the absolute truth is that they're being led and directed by Spirit. And it is spiritual warfare. So may we enter this battle in your power and in your strength. But first we have to come in humility, asking you to reveal in us, what are we contributing to this war? Are we praying? Are we seeking? Are we desiring you? Are we wanting your will to be done? Are we asking, Lord, that your spirit and power move and that you send your angels to push back the enemy? Or are we praying against individuals? Are we praying in our fleshly anger and emotionalism? You know every heart. May those who hear this message this morning come to you and prepare for humility with you, with each other, and then to hear your voice and lead us on what our role is in this spiritual battle. We thank you that you do engage with us. We thank you that you're a God who walks with us and who wants to engage with us on every level. But we got to get out of the way of our own mindset and the old nature in order for us to be able to hear and understand. We ask for that understanding. We ask for that wisdom. We ask for discernment. And we ask in humility, knowing that you will give it to us. And we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.